I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show, Hotel Mars, Episode M. David Livingston, my colleague, my co-pilot of the space show, joins me. Mr. Livingston, a very good evening to you.
And a good evening to you, John.
We've had concerns about Curiosity because of random events that you can't find except in Hollywood scripts. There's reason to be hopeful, David. The latest news that I'm seeing put up right now from The Guardian 12 hours ago is that they hope that the glitches have been solved. NASA controllers will put Curiosity through basic moves and cautious return to active service after it has gone into safe mode. So we welcome, and we're going to be positive here, David. We're not going to worry about the sky falling yet, although that is a version of what happened to Curiosity. Ralph Millikan, assistant professor of geological sciences at Brown University. Professor, a very good evening to you. David and I have been a little fretful about our brave little toaster on the surface of Mars and Gale crater, Curiosity. It was hit by an odd event. The sky fell on it, perhaps a cosmic ray. Should we continue to be concerned, or can we be rosy about the next few months with Curiosity? Good evening to you, Ralph.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me. No, I think things are looking very positive at this point in time. You know, it's always good to keep in mind we do have some of the world's greatest and brightest engineers working out there at the Jet Propulsion Lab to solve these kinds of issues and to move the rover and its operations forward. And things are looking very good, and I think we can all be positive about it, and I think we'll be able to return to science operations if everything goes well sometime in the very near future and continue to do all of the great things we've been doing with the instruments on the rover. So I think things are looking good.
I'm satisfied. David, unless you want to worry some more, I'm going to plunge right on to geology because, Ralph, we had the temptation to believe that that first soil sample was exciting, but this is just a test of all the soil samples ahead. What do you as a geologist want to see first? What are the building blocks that you want to see from the surface of Mars, Ralph?
Well, in terms of the building blocks, I guess, you know, one of the primary objectives of what we're trying to do with this experiment and the Curiosity rover and understanding Mars is, one of our questions is, are there habitable environments on Mars? As we look in the ancient rock record in Gale Crater and Mount Sharp, is there evidence that any of the environments in which those rocks were deposited could have been habitable for life as we know it? And of course, the life as we know it is all based on our experience here on Earth, because that's the only place we know of for sure has life in our solar system or in the universe. And so in terms of what do we need, the basic kind of building blocks and ingredients to have a habitable environment are things such as water. We need a source of energy or gradients in chemistry and elements to have life be able to sustain itself and metabolize. And we need kind of certain elements, things that we know are key to life on Earth, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, sulfur. And the amazing thing is that, as we revealed very recently, the other week, is that in this rock sample that we've drilled into, we seem to have, you know, hit pay dirt, and we now have evidence, after analyzing that sample, that all of the raw ingredients and the kind of necessary things we think of are there. We have water-bearing materials, so there's evidence that water interacted with these sediments in the rock. We have the evidence of the hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, sulfur. Those things are in the rock. And we have these elements in different oxidation states, which tells us that there's a potential for an energy gradient there, kind of like a battery that you need to sustain life. And so all of the ingredients seem to be there, and so we kind of can state rather comfortably that we have found an environment that could have been habitable to life if life ever existed on Mars.
David?
Good evening, Ralph. A couple of things that I've seen that are most interesting is that comments that the water is extremely pristine and could be water that we could drink if we were there on Mars, and that really fascinates me quite a bit. And then I still keep reading some signs that maybe Curiosity itself is affecting or maybe contaminating, that may be too strong a word, some of the samples. So are we clear that Curiosity is not contributing to any of the findings?
Well, in terms of, are you referencing in terms of finding carbon organic material?
Correct, yes.
So in that scenario, and this is the case of laboratories on Earth as well, where we have much better control on these things because you can do your experiments over and over again and adjust things. Contamination is always an issue when you're looking for trace, evidence of organics and carbon in samples such as these. We have methods that we think, by doing multiple analyses of a given rock target or multiple drill samples, that we can kind of get a better handle on what may be contamination versus what may be truly Martian in origin. And those are things that we'll be continuing to do. With any one given sample, it's very hard to address those issues, especially if things are there at trace levels. But I think we feel that if we can continue to measure more samples, we can kind of beat down the noise, if you will, and get a better understanding of what may be contamination and not. And one aspect is simply as, as you pass samples through the system in the rover, there may be some residual material left in there. And so the more new sample or fresher samples you pass through, the less of contamination from other samples you have as well. And so that helps to improve our understanding of what we're actually seeing in the rock. And then getting back to your question about the water and kind of how benign it may be based on our understanding of what we have in the rocks, to me that's really a fascinating aspect of our findings and what we've been seeing is that from other locations on Mars that we've explored, like in the Terra Meridiani region where the Opportunity rover continues to explore, a lot of the rocks that it saw there indicated that very acidic fluids and water had actually interacted with the rocks. And though we do have extremophiles on Earth that live under very acidic conditions, that's not where 99% of life as we know it does live. And it's not clear, is that an environment that life evolves into, or is that where life originates? So, all things being equal, we know that life, most life does tend to prefer neutral kinds of waters that, you might be able to scoop up with your hands and drink. And the rocks that we're seeing here, they don't have evidence of acidic minerals or minerals that formed in acidic environments or highly alkaline environments. And so it seems to be relatively nice, neutral waters that would be very favorable for most life forms as we know it.
Professor, I want to look ahead. I mean, really ahead, a couple of hundred years to a Martian colony idea. It would be sub-Martian, that is, to avoid the radiation and other accidents that happen on the surface. But is there a way to read this soil to know that we can work it, that we could turn it into a soil that is conducive to life, to planting, to farming?
Yeah, well, of course, one of the things that makes regions on Earth very fertile for growing food and things like that is the presence of organic material. And having this nice black rich soil that we can grow things in. For Mars, though, again, at least in the materials that we've seen, the raw ingredients are there in terms of, nitrogen, phosphorus, all these other things, that plants and matter needs to grow, depending on the organism. And we have evidence that there are a lot of hydrated minerals. So we have minerals that are water-bearing today that, one might be able to extract water from. And in the Martian soil, there's certainly water. We see from our orbital data and our satellites, we know that basically every location on Mars, the soil has water in it. Now, it's not as wet as you're going to find here on Earth because there's just not that much water vapor around in the atmosphere. But it is wet, and there's water in it that people could use as a resource if they wanted to and extract that. So certainly if you were to think about sending humans to Mars for longer-term exploration, you would have to carry a lot of things with you to get started. But there are also a lot of what we would call in-situ resources that you might be able to access, such as water in the soil and things like the nitrogen and phosphorus, if you go to the right spot. And, of course, what we can say now is we have a rover in this location, Gale Crater, the Curiosity rover, and we see some of these things. But what we still need to try to understand is what is that in the context of the regional geology and the global geology? Is this a unique place, or is this telling us that these kind of environments are much more prevalent in the rock record on Mars?
All right, so it's not Iowa now, but are you saying it could be Iowa in the future if we work it?
Well, by Iowa, you mean vasta.
Yes, yeah, so with the Olala Aquifer underneath and the black soil on top. Yes, yeah, something like that.
Well, again, the black soil, if that's originally from organic material, you're not going to have that necessarily. However, we do know there is an influx of organic material pretty much throughout the inner solar system from asteroids and meteorites. There are types of meteorites called carbonaceous chondrites that have organic material in them but have nothing to do with life forms. It's just organic material, carbon, hydrogen, and that comes in here on Earth, and we find the meteorites. It's presumably present on the Moon and Mars as well, those sorts of things. But it's going to be diluted, so it won't be the black sorts of soil that you find in fertile regions. But all the other things that you need, kind of like I said, the nitrogen, phosphorus, things like this might be much more present in some locations on Mars than others. And in terms of the water sources, we can't measure this directly with the rover, but certainly other people have postulated that maybe deeper down beneath the surface, where you'd have to drill, you know, quite a ways down, but maybe there are still aquifers there today, and we don't know for sure, but it's certainly a possibility, depending on how deep you go.
David?
Ralph, I know we're coming up on a conjunction with Earth and Mars for April. Does that have a big impact on our ability to work with Curiosity? Does it sort of take a vacation during this period, or what happens?
Yes, that's correct. We have conjunction coming up, and so we'll effectively have the rover will have a bit of a mini vacation there for about a month, I'd say, and that'll give us, those of us in the science team, actually, it'll give us a lot of chance to actually work through all of the data that we have, this vast amount of data that we've gotten, and sift through it and really dig into it and see some of the more detailed, nuanced aspects of that data, and the rover will take a sort of a mini vacation and sit in one place, and then after conjunction, we'll be getting right back to work and drilling and driving around again and carrying on with our mission.
Ralph Millikan is Assistant Professor of Geological Sciences at Brown University. David Livingston is Dr. Space of The Space Show. And, of course, the Curiosity, the brave little NASA robot, will be taking a mini sequester coming conjunction, chipping in as best it can to save money for the American people. I'm John Bashman.